580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
Okie dokie. Welcome to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today, April 22nd, 2012, on WILL AM 580. And we're going to have a great two-hour special show for you today. And for two full hours, we're going to have John Nichols on the line with us from Los Angeles, talking about the presidential election, talking about the Wisconsin recall, talking about the presidential election in France going on today, and all sorts of other news about media and politics, and also, most important of all, raising money, getting you to call in to pledge to support WILL AM 580, support Media Matters, support this sort of programming. But before we go to John Nichols, before we go to the business at hand, let's first go to Media Minutes.
Any views or opinions expressed by the hosts of Media Minutes are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or licensee.
Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
Public media like NPR and PBS are designed to be ad-free, but soon the non-commercial broadcast stations may be airing political ads. Last week, a U.S. appeals court struck down a ban on political advertising on public TV and radio stations. In a 2-1 decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the judges ruled that the ban on political advertising violated the First Amendment. The judges said that permitting these sorts of ads would not threaten or undermine the educational nature of public broadcasting. But media watchdog groups like Free Press say the move deviates from the original vision of non-commercial programming. Political attack ads are on the rise, with commercial broadcasters raking in billions this year alone. Tim Carr, Free Press Senior Director of Strategy, said the public could now be inundated with these ads on the non-commercial stations they trust to deliver ad-free programming.
A lot of viewers out there are so sick of seeing these ads that they have chosen non-commercial media to escape from this inundation, this flood of political ads. Now, with this ruling, it means that, that is no longer a safe haven for them, that they potentially can turn on their favorite show on PBS, whether it's Sesame Street or Downton Abbey or The News Hour, and see the same types of ads that they're experiencing in excess on commercial stations.
In poll after poll, Americans overwhelmingly say that public broadcasting should be supported with public funds. Carr said NPR and PBS shouldn't be turning to political ads as part of their funding stream.
The idea that public media, that PBS and NPR need to seek other sources of income in order to survive, isn't supported by public opinion. So I think it's really incumbent on people in Congress to see that that sort of funding goes through rather than urging stations to resort to these alternatives, which really undermines the vision of public media.
Free Press is urging public media stations to reject these political ads through an online petition. Already, one PBS affiliate, KPBS in San Diego, and one local radio station, KSFR in Santa Fe, have committed to reject them. But there are 350 public television stations and 900 public radio outlets nationwide.
So we do still have a long way to go to get all of these stations to pledge not to accept these dirty attack ads.
To find out more, visit freepress.net.
What's being called the largest fiber optic network in North America was unveiled last week in South Central North Dakota. The 90 million, 10,000 square mile project combines two telecommunication cooperatives, Dakota Central Communications and Dickey Rural Networks, to bring high-speed fiber optic broadband service to 18,000 homes and businesses.
What's great about fiber to the home is it's really the purest and fastest form of an internet connection you can have. And in a place like North Dakota, that's historically always had a digital divide, has been not as economically competitive because of that. It really tears down a lot of those barriers and creates a wonderful opportunity for that region to do some really cool things.
That's Jasper Schneider, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development State Director. He says having access to a truly high-speed internet connection creates opportunities for telemedicine, distance learning, business telecommuting, starting new businesses, or expanding existing ones. Agriculture has become a high-tech business, Schneider says. For instance, high-speed connections help dairy farmers check on their cows.
Sitting at home or being on the road or in a tractor or wherever you may be with your iPad, you can have simultaneously all your cameras on the screen at once, and you can get, you know, a real-time snapshot of your production.
There are dairy operations that have surveillance cameras throughout their barns, fields, and pastures.
This isn't your grandfather's farm anymore. These farms and ranches, with GPS technology, with high-speed internet connection, with just all sorts of technology, they've become very sophisticated operations.
The network was financed largely through the USDA Rural Development Office in the form of loans. And grants from the Broadband Stimulus and the Recovery Act help bring connections to those areas lacking broadband service.
Rural broadband is 21st century infrastructure, and I think it's probably the single biggest thing that can be a game changer for rural America. You look at the economic recovery that we're going through right now, you know, one of the few bright spots actually has been agriculture and domestic energy production. And both of those generally are very much rural industries. And so I think that's kind of important to remember in the larger context of what we're doing as a country. Where access to a high-speed internet connection isn't just a luxury. It's becoming a necessity and almost a backbone for almost everything we do.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
Okie dokie. Welcome to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here in WILL AM 580. We've got a two-hour live edition of Media Matters today, and joining us is our favorite guest, and especially our favorite guest when it comes to talking about politics and talks about raising money, John Nichols, on the phone from L.A. John, are you there?
I sure am. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, you're coming through loud and clear. You must be on a landline.
I am. Well, damn straight, landline.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother John, for doing that. And thank you for taking time out of your day. You're at the L.A. Book Festival, is that right?
Yeah, the L.A. Times Festival of Books, which is one of the two or three biggest book festivals in the U.S. It's a really a fabulous event where you have tens of thousands of people all over the University of Southern California campus, very outdoors. And one of the wonderful things is, in a reflection of L.A., how multi-ethnic, multiracial, multi-language it is. It's just a really rich, great place to be.
Who are some of the other authors beside yourself who are at the festival this year?
Well, our friend Van Jones, whose book, Rebuild the... I hope I get it right.
The Dream.
The Dream. I apologize. I was going to say Rebuild America, and then I realized that's somebody else's... That's Romney's pack or something
like
that.
Yeah, we'll have to Rebuild the Nightmare or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Rebuild the Dream just went to number 15 on the New York Times bestseller list. I'll be with him this afternoon. Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation is out, as well as a lot of other Nation authors and frequent guests on your show, folks like Jeremy Scahill. I wouldn't limit it to that. It's just the incredible range of fiction authors, nonfiction. They have something like a couple hundred panels on all sorts of different issues and readings. And I know this is maybe not, it doesn't fit exactly with the show, but it's incredibly good for kids. It's just an amazing thing to see, you know, thousands of children on top children's authors and stuff. So it's a really cool thing, and it's the first time I've ever done it, and it's pretty clear to me we're going to have to do it next year for our book.
Well, I'm game, and a year from now we'll also be using our book as the pledge premium.
I hope so, too.
That means we'll have to get it finished. But in the meantime, we have your book, John Nichols, Uprising. You 2 weeks ago we had you on the show, and we talked about it, and we talked about the politics in Wisconsin and worldwide, really, with the uprising of the Occupy movement. And it is one of the premiums today for people to support WILL. For $60, you can get a copy of John Nichols' brand new book, Uprising. And Uprising is selling really well.
It's
really
a great time with it. Yeah,
yeah. It's I think your best selling book, I dare say.
There's always a competition with the Cheney book. People always enjoy a little beating up on Cheney. But it has done. We've had a really good ride, and I'd love to say that it's about me. But my sense is that it's a fascination on the part of a lot of Americans with the struggle in Wisconsin, and more broadly with what we'll talk about today, how things are sort of kicking up all over. There is a global response to this austerity push by the right, and Wisconsin's a great American manifestation of it, but we're really seeing it all over the world.
Now, as an aside right now, John, I want to say something to all our listeners. Today's our Pledge Drive show. We're going to be on 2 hours talking about politics and media with John Nichols. And what would be great if all of you who are listening right now, I know there are several thousand of you and many more online who may not be listening to this in real time, but if all of you immediately, right now, would just go to the phones and call us 217-244-9455, make your pledge. Get it out of the way right now, or if you want to use the computer, go to willpledge.org, and it's very easy to make a secure donation there. If you want to do that, that'd be great. Get it done, then John and I can talk a little bit more about politics the next 2 hours. So let's try to get like 500 of you, just, you know, in the next minute or two. Flood the airlines, airwaves, flood the phone lines, flood the internet lines, the internet pipes, as Ted Stevens called them. Make your pledges right away. For $60, you can get a copy of John Nichols' new book, Uprising, a spectacular book on what's happening in Wisconsin and the broader Occupy movement. And as John just said, the uprising all over the world against austerity politics and austerity economics. For another $60, you could also get Glenn Greenwald's new book, In Liberty and Justice for Some. Glenn was on with us last fall, right when the book came out. It is an extraordinary book about what's happening with political corruption and civil liberties and the rule of law in the United States today. And for $100, you can get copies of both of those books, Uprising and Glenn Greenwald's In Liberty and Justice for Some. I urge you to make the call right now, 217-244-9455. Get those calls in. Make your pledge. Whatever you can give is great. Give whatever you can. We need your support. I don't need to tell anyone who listens to this show that public radio and programs like this are not really high on the wish list of Mitch McConnell, of the politicians in Washington, or politicians anywhere. And all the public institutions in this country are struggling. We desperately need your support. This is to pay the core basic expenses of our operation. This is not fringe money. This money does not go to junkets, to Bal Harbor with big shots or hot tubs or anything like that. This goes to pay the heating bill, the electricity bill, the water bill. These are the things we need your support. So please call, make that pledge right now, 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org. Let's get a bunch of you to do it now so we can just talk politics as much as possible for the next 2 hours. Please do call. John Nichols, anything to add to that?
What was that number again?
There, you're my man. 217-244-9455.
And I think that's really, the other thing I'd add to that is it really is important that people call. We'll talk about a lot of important stuff today, but I think that WILL listeners understand that we don't come to them that often and ask for these resources, but these resources matter immensely. Even now, Bob, you guys are calling me long distance here. I'm out in L.A. I wish I was down in the bunker with you there, the broadcast bunker. But it costs money just to call me. I mean, and during this 2 hours, that'll run up a little bit of a bill for WILL. When you call a Noam Chomsky or a Bill Moyers or an Amy Goodman or a Naomi Klein or any of the other people who have appeared on this show and given insights you won't hear anywhere else, that costs money. It costs money to, you know, flip on the electricity, to set up the studio, to make things function. And so WILL runs on a tighter budget than any media I deal with, no question of that, but it still has to have the resources. So if you're listening today, if you value WILL, if you value the unique character of this show, which is, to my mind, you know, something outstanding in the whole panoply of what we've got in media because of the incredible guests it brings on and the discussions it engages in, if you value that, you have to call. And the number again, Bob?
217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org. And one thing, John, I don't know if you ever get this, but I get it a lot. A number of people listen to the show online now. I don't know what the percentages are. Jack Brighton at the station told me once, and I remember we might have more people listen on the computer or through a podcast than we do over live air.
Well, we get pledges from like Connecticut and stuff.
I'll be traveling around. I mean, literally, I'm in England or I'm in California, wherever I am. People say, "Yeah, I listen to your show all the time. It's great." And, you know, but I rarely listen to it in real time. I listen to it, you know, at my convenience. And if you're one of those people listening to it now, it's not Sunday where you are, 1:15 Central Time, but instead it's, you know, Tuesday night or wherever. You can still pledge. And we want your pledge at willpledge.org. And I just, before we get back to politics, want to emphasize one other point. When we come for this money, again, is not, this is all volunteer labor for me, from John Nichols. We're here because we love doing this show. We love the chance to talk about politics and bring the guest here at this show before you. This money goes to pay for core expenses. There's no flab in this operation. There's zero flab at all. We're down to the slab here. And this goes to keep that slab strong so we can keep shows like this alive, keep them going out over the internet worldwide so people can hear this wherever they might be. So 217-244-9455. And, John, let's go right now to a subject that you and I have been talking about. We haven't talked about on the air yet, which is the election for president in France, which you earmarked early on. You've been watching this closely. It's really one of the most important elections of our times.
I think it's an incredibly important election, and it's so instructive for Americans. The results are coming in. I mean, it's the polls have closed.
Yeah, because what is it over there now? It's 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and so just in the last few minutes, we find out that the first thing, this is more important than any win or loss. Over 80% of the French people voted in this first round election. What that would mean, it would be an American equivalent if in primary elections you got over 80% turnout.
Instead of 8%.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I've covered the races this year. We've had depressed turnout in these Republican primaries all over, and we're looking at a fall election in America where there are many people suggesting that we'll struggle to get to 50% turnout. So right off the bat, in other countries, you have dramatically higher turnout. One of the reasons you have dramatically higher turnout is you have dramatically more interesting candidates and a dramatically greater diversity of opinions. And in the French election today, you had a socialist candidate, Hollande, who looks to have come in first in the voting today. You have the sitting conservative president, Sarkozy, who looks to have come in second. You have then parties of the left and the right that, you know, really bring the whole range of opinions from what some people think of as a neo-fascism advocated by the Le Pen family and their political party, all the way over to something very akin to anarchy. You've got, you know, monarchists. And to me, the most exciting contender, and a guy it looks like he's gotten in the range of 12 to 15% of the vote, we'll see where it turns out, is a guy named Jean-Luc Mélenchon. And Mélenchon was a minister in Mitterrand's cabinets in the past, in the old socialist cabinets, but he left the Socialist Party, which in many senses is very parallel to the American Democratic Party, relatively centrist. And he left to form a party that ran entirely in this campaign on an anti-austerity message, against cuts, in favor of taxing the rich, you know, very, very blunt, progressive populism. And Mélenchon started out the race with people, polls suggesting he would get maybe 1%, 2% of the vote. This harder left in French politics has been very marginalized in recent decades. And yet he appears to, he's definitely gotten into double digits, could be as high as 15% of the vote, which is just an incredible rejection of austerity. And the final thing I'd say on the president, French race, why people should pay attention to it is the way that ideas feed up the food chain. Mélenchon went out and protested when Standard & Poor's downgraded France's credit rating. You know, U.S. had a downgrade, and everybody whined about it. Mélenchon pulled a truck up in front of the Standard & Poor's office and had thousands of people chanting in the street condemning Standard & Poor's, saying, "You cannot downgrade a republic." Well, what was fascinating about that is within weeks, actually days of that protest by Mélenchon, the guy on the left, who wasn't going to be president, who was just simply, you know, organizing a response that would be heard by others, using the political process to put real ideas into the mix. Within days, Hollande, the socialist candidate, said, well, I'm running against the big banks and all these financial institutions as well, and if I'm elected, I will favor a major crackdown on their speculation. I will favor taxes where we take 75% of the income of people making over €1 billion a year. And so that's what happens with the socialists. And then Sarkozy, the conservative, looking at this churn, looking at this energy on the left, suddenly announces he is in favor of a financial transactions tax to curb speculation and to crack down on, you know, the kind of insider trading and big speculation by big banks and big interests. And so this is what you have when you have a more diverse politics. Ideas that may not win elections bubble up into the process and change the opinions, change the actions of those who will win the election.
It sounds like a healthy democracy.
Well, that's why we should study France.
Yeah, and you know, John, we have austerity here too at WILL.
Transition.
That's the transition here. We have severe austerity. The funding has been cut by the government, by the state. We're struggling to get along here, even though our listenership is stronger than ever. The product is stronger than ever. The funding base isn't. And, you know, we don't take advertising, refuse to accept advertising. This show will not be carrying any political ads, no matter how much we're offered to carry them. And what we do need, and where we get our support, is from listeners. Listeners of this program right now who like Media Matters, who enjoy the sort of guests we have on this show. In fact, John, I'm going to give you, you've already mentioned Van Jones and Katrina Vandenhoevel. They've both been guests since our last pledge drive in the fall. You know who else has been on, among our guests we've had since the last one, just in the last 5 months? We've had Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers, Larry Lessig, the author of Republic Lost, Juan Gonzalez from Democracy Now!, Noam Chomsky, Tom Frank, the author of Pity the Billionaire, Richard Arum, the author of Academically Adrift, Gar Alperovitz, Michael Hastings, author of The Operators, Susan Herman, president of the ACLU, Rebecca McKinnon, author of Consent of the Networked, and this list goes on and on. And most of the guests I think I've just named aren't going to be heard on any other shows of this nature on NPR or any commercial network.
I know, and it's a tragedy that they won't be heard, or that they will be heard only in a stilted appearance, you know, 4 minutes here, 8 minutes there, but not a full hour of real discussion. And, you know, you talk about Gar Purvitz, whose book has been so very influential. It's not a best-selling book. It hasn't been featured on all the national shows, and yet people who think about how we're going to organize an economy in the 21st century talk about that book all the time. I would venture to say that there have been only a handful of shows that have given him a full hour to really tweak those ideas out and that have then invited listeners to come in and join in that conversation. And that's why this show is so special. It's why it's absolutely vital that people call in and make their pledges and make them now. You know, Bob and I love talking about all these other things, and you know, as much as we love a pledge drive, you know, we might enjoy some other topics. But we begin with the premise, which I think all the listeners should as well, that if you're going to have great radio, you have to begin by supporting it. You have to give it the resources it needs to go out and make itself heard. And
John, it's just not an option here. This isn't pin money. This isn't just sort of horse around rainy day funds. This is to pay the utilities, pay the salaries, the low salaries, I regret to say, of the wonderful staff here at WILL. And the number is 217-244-9455, or toll free, just call that number, 217-244-9455, or online at willpledge.org. If you hear this on the computer, you can still call in, or you can go to willpledge.org and make your pledge. And if you, on the computer or on the phone call, tell them you're calling for Media Matters, then indicate for $60 you can get either John Nichols' brand new book, Uprising, on the Wisconsin Uprising and the Occupy Movement, or you can get Glenn Greenwald's new book, And Liberty and Justice for Some. We had Glenn on the air with us when the book came out a few months ago. It's an extraordinary work on what's happening to civil liberties in the United States today, and generally the rule of law. Just is everyone covered by the rule of law the same, or some people above it and others below it? A deeply troubling but illuminating book by Glenn Greenwald. Both those books for $100, but just call, make a pledge, give what you can. If you can't afford $60, we appreciate it. We know the economy is rocky. That's one of the reasons we're coming before you as we are. But at the same time, give whatever you can. Give the best you can do. We need all the support. John, I didn't tell you the bad news.
Uh-oh.
Heather Miller, the commander-chief of the pledge drive here at WILL, has given me the goal of 100 calls in 2 hours.
Oh, just 100?
Just so. Man, what an attitude you've got. That you're supposed to commiserate with me.
You have to understand, like, you and I have taken insane dives off the cliff trying to get incredible numbers of calls, because we actually believe that the amount of money raised is less significant than the number of callers.
Absolutely.
We believe that for two reasons. One, we favor a small D democratic media that's supported by a lot of people, not just a few big donors. Two, we've always put our faith in the listeners, that they will give what they can, and that while some of those callers will give everything they can and it will only be $5, others will, who are in a somewhat better position, will give more. They'll give 100, they'll give 200, and the end result is it will average out fine. The resources will come if the great mass of people call 217-244-9455. Did I get that right?
You got it right. And, you know, again, our research shows that no more than 10% of the people who listen to the show regularly are donors. 90% of you, I love you all 100%, but 90% of you are letting the 10% carry the load. The 10% do the donations. And just take a look in the mirror and say, really, is this appropriate? Now, if you're flat broke, you're in debt, you just simply can't afford it for whatever reason, we understand.
While you're begging dimes from people outside the Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know. Just
that's
benefit.
Fair enough. And go about your day. Yeah. But if by chance you've got $10 you could send to keep a show like this on the air and a station like this functioning, if you've got $50, $100, you've got to do it. You've got to get to that phone and call 217-244-9455 right now and say, hey, I want to support WILL. I want to support Media Matters. This is the sort of programming we want to have here. And, John, I've got good news. We've had 5 calls of support, and we've got 5 people I want to thank right now.
Let's see, we got 5 calls, and we're about 25 minutes in, and we had a lot of stuff up front. That's, you know, we're about on average.
Yeah, because we usually start slow. People they want to hear us, see if we're on our game before they make the call, if we're really earning it. They want to make us grovel a little bit.
They enjoy it. You know, some people, they figure if they call too early, you know, we'll just get to talking about, you know, major elections and politics and ideology. And
yeah, the Wisconsin recall, the presidential race,
And they won't hear their beloved pleading for money.
Yeah, 2 grown men groveling starving dogs.
So I realize, but those folks, you know, they've gotten some now. It's time to call.
Yeah, and we've got 5 people to thank. I want to thank Charles of Charleston, Rolf of Woodbridge, Maria of Charleston, Barbara of Charleston, Martha of Monticello. What is going on with Charleston? 3 out of 5.
The revolution starts there.
I got Champagne and Urbana usually are duking it out for pole position in this race.
Who?
Yeah, Urbana who? Charleston, Illinois is rocking. Home of Eastern Illinois University. Keep it up, Charleston.
Now, I don't want to discourage Charleston.
No.
I think this could be the year Charleston beats everybody.
I might have to headquarter the show down there if they keep this up. The number here at Media Matters, 217-244-9455. Call in, make your pledge to WILL, or go to willpledge.org. $60 gets you a copy of John Nichols' brand new book, Uprising, or Glenn Greenwald's new book, and Liberty and Justice for Some. $100 gets you both. Give whatever you can. Our target is 100 callers. We've got 5. We've got another hour and a half to do so. Just call in, give whatever you can. And then here's one quick aside I want to make, John. There might be someone out there who's actually not in bad shape financially now, who's in a pretty solvent position and they're doing well. This might be the time, you know, you could write a check for $500 or $1,000, and you can afford to do it. This would be a wonderful moment to do that, because there are a lot of people out there listening right now, I know, who can't give anything or can only give a few dollars, who wish they could give more. And if you can give more, because it shows some solidarity with those who listen, who would love to support the show more if they had the resources to do so.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, the desire that we have to get, you know, this great mass of callers, to get 100 callers here, it is a bold gesture. I noticed that we've already had 5 calls, which is really great. Not long ago, I was doing a pledge drive on a public radio station and a statewide network, and they have 2 networks. One is the News and Comment Network. That's where I was doing the pledge drive, and we were going for like some incredibly insane number, like 50 calls in an hour, which is just amazing. And then the Classical Music Network over on the other side, their goal was 4 calls. So and I support keeping classical music on air, and I recognize that your audience is sometimes a bit smaller there, and so I'm not teasing them.
No, and unlike you, I actually like classical music.
I know, you're a much better person than I. But But although I will note that you're not opening with classical music, you know.
No, of course not. It's the 1 o'clock jump.
So and I will just tell you, the 1 o'clock jump, when you listen to it, sounds like it underpins Black Oak Arkansas' song "Jim Dandy."
Mm.
But bottom line here is that there are a lot of shows that are very, you know, they hustle to get 4, 5, 6, 10 calls in an hour. We are asking 100 people to call. That is an amazing thing. But our experience tells us that you're out there.
We know they're out there. You're listening right now.
You're listening. You believe in this show and this station, and you recognize there's something different about this show. This is a unique entity in radio that brings you the biggest thinkers in America, the biggest thinkers in the world, and it costs money to bring those big thinkers, those big writers, those big political players onto this show for an hour.
And it costs money to have a station, too, that has the equipment to do the show, that can pay the bills, that has engineers like Kyle Kroha, who works our board every Sunday. You know, she has to eat, too, or she can't do her job. And so it does take pledges, 244-9455, area code 217, or at willpledge.org. John, we do have a couple more people to thank.
I love that.
One of them is Wayne from Champaign, our first call from Champaign-Urbana. Thank you, Wayne, for...
Ho, ho, ho. I want to halt something here.
Okay.
Earlier, we had Charles from Charlestown.
Yeah.
Now we have Wayne from Champaign.
Where are you going with this?
Is Anna from Urbana calling any minute now?
Oh, John, did you get any sleep last night?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, good. Here's one for you, John. We got Robert from Terre Haute, Indiana, calling Terre Haute, you know, nearby here, just on the other side of the state line.
Victor Debs.
Who else is from Terre Haute?
Other people.
What? What other famous person is connected to...
Victor Debs is more than enough. Who are you going to tell me?
Larry Bird went to college.
Well, there you go, of course.
Okay, so there we are.
Left of Eugene Victor Debs.
Okay, call here to Media Matters. We need your pledge, 244-9455. I'm Bob McChesney. We're live with John Nichols, who's in L.A., taking 2 hours out of his schedule to join us today to support the show, to talk politics, and to urge you all to call in so we can get these 100 callers done and nail them. And while people are calling in at 217-244-9455, making their pledge or going to willpledge.org, John, I do want to talk, get an update from you, a quick one to start on the Wisconsin recall election. For people here in Illinois, where does it stand now? What's the schedule look like, and what's it shaping up like?
Well, people in Illinois have followed this struggle very closely and have every reason to follow it even more closely, because last week Governor Walker came down to Springfield to say to the people of Illinois, you know, we've had such glorious success in Illinois. Why don't you follow us, follow our approach to labor-management relations? And something very amusing happened. Illinois, being nearby and having followed the Wisconsin fight very closely ever since Governor Walker tried to essentially take away collective bargaining rights for public employee unions, gave Governor Walker the sort of response he deserves. The largest out-of-state protest yet to Governor Walker. More than 4,000 people showed up in Springfield to protest the governor's speech to the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. It was a really strong signal that this Wisconsin fight has really taken on a national character. People understand what it's about. They understand that Scott Walker is the American face of a militant austerity agenda that would balance budgets on the backs of public employees, of teachers, of snowplow drivers, and it also would do so by cutting support for public schools, public services, for the infrastructure of our society. So it's a great big womp and battle. And we can talk about the deep politics of it, and there's a lot more to talk about, but I will give you one wonderful tidbit from the Wisconsin struggle.
Okay.
Governor Walker went down to Illinois, and he trashed Illinois. He said, you know, you guys, you just don't have your act together. You're not on the cutting edge of modern fiscal policy and economics like we are, and really ripped on Illinois and said, you got to follow our model. And then Bloomberg, the financial reporting operation, mm-hmm. came out on Friday with a study, and it showed that Illinois is number 3 nationally in job growth under a Democratic governor who raised taxes in order to maintain public services, whereas Wisconsin is number 42 in job growth under a governor who cut taxes and cut public services. And so the governor was proved very, very wrong, and in fact quite embarrassed by the fantasies he tried to peddle to the wise people of Illinois.
John, I've received word from the central control headquarters here at WILL that the key thing for folks to do, if they can, is go to willpledge.org, the website, which is just set up to make it extremely easy to make your pledge to support Media Matters and to support WILL-AM, willpledge.org. And, of course, we do want you to call in. It's fun when they call in, too, because then I get to announce their name on the air if they like, and we can talk about their great hometown at 217-244-9455. The important thing, though, is to call. Make that pledge. We have a target of 100, and I think we've got 9 now. We've got 2 more I want to thank. A call from Champaign. Champaign is up ahead of Urbana now, 2-0. Thanks to David. Thank you very much, David, for that. And we have a call from Rob. And get this, John, he's from Slaterville Springs in New York.
Well, I think I think this guy might have pledged before.
I think he's called in, too.
Yeah, or something, because I'm thinking, you know, outstate New York is in the house.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that, you know, people around the country are bought into this noble experiment. Because this is, you know, the truth is, this is an experiment. This show goes on a really radical faith that listeners in, you know, central, eastern Illinois, western part of Indiana, and then beyond on the internet will not just listen to, but get excited about a program that treats them as adults, that says, you know the basic news of your day, you've followed what's going on, now you want to know more. You want to get the ideas, you want to get the latest approaches, you want to learn about the debates that are going on in your society from the people who are in the middle of them, folks like Naomi Klein and Jeremy Scahill, Noam Chomsky, you know, some of the best economists in the world. We're just talking about Wisconsin. We're talking about, you know, this struggle over austerity that is at the center of debates from France to Wisconsin, all over the world. And you've put people like Joseph Stiglitz on air. Paul Krugman.
Yeah, let me give you a trivia question here, John. We're going to test your knowledge of Media Matters. So it can't really be full trivia, but it's information, since we would never consider this show trivial. What do the following four people have in common? Janine Jackson, Paul Krugman, Noam Chomsky, and James Galbraith.
Why, they've all been guests on Media Matters?
Better.
Uh-oh. They've all been repeat guests.
Better. They're all scheduled to be guests in the next 7 weeks.
No way.
In the next 7 weeks. Paul Krugman, Noam Chomsky, Janine Jackson, James Galbraith, all scheduled to be here on Media Matters to do this show. And they were delighted to do it. They're happy to be on the show. They've been on in the past and had great experience with the callers. And now we need the callers to say, okay, we're going to show you. We're glad Paul Krugman and Noam Chomsky and Janine Jackson and John Nichols and on and on, Van Jones, et cetera, et cetera. We're glad you take time out of your day at no fee to come on and talk to us. We're going to return the favor to WILL. We're going to return the favor to Media Matters. And we're going to call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org, and we're going to make our donation today, our pledge, to keep this station and this show going strong for another 10 years, despite all the budget cuts, despite all the political attacks that we've been taking. We're going to stand strong because this is important work that's being done, and we treasure this. That's what we need our callers to say by making that call right now to 244-9455 or going to willpledge.org. And John, as I said that, and I hope people are going to willpledge.org and making that call right now, we did get our 10th caller. Another one from New York State, Tarrytown, New York.
What's that? What town?
Tarrytown.
There's no Cherrytown.
No, Tarrytown.
Tarrytown, I believe.
I think that's like just north of the city, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it figures in a Steely Dan song.
Is it like a Dutchess County or something? I'm not sure. I'm probably way off.
Like when Steely Dan was skipping out his classes at Bard.
Yeah, that would be it, on the river. And Robert is our guest, our listener from Tarrytown. Thank you so much, Robert. So join Robert. Join our first 10 callers who've come in. We need 90 more. We've got about, 82 minutes to do so. Please make that call.
New York is beating Urbana.
That's pathetic. Champaign 2, Urbana 0, Charleston 3, New York 2. Come on, Urbana. You're usually the home run hitter in our lineup. 217-244-9455. Toll free, willpledge.org. $60 gets you either John Nichols' new book, Uprising, or you can get Glenn Greenwald's new book, In Liberty and Justice for Some. Both exceptional books. I pick these personally. They say I can have any premiums I want for our callers, and I always pick books we've done on the air that I thought were especially interesting. John's book, for obvious reasons, I think is brilliant, and Glenn Greenwald's book is simply a classic. In the past, we've had books on, like, Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, which has become, you know, a classic in its time. We had that book on the air, and we're talking about it, I think, before anyone else even knew about it.
I think you're exactly right. You were raving about it back, you know, years ago. Now, this is the fascinating thing about The New Jim Crow. That book, first really talked about on this show, has become so hot. It's become a redefining book as regards to the debate about the prison industrial complex in America. And so it came out kind of soft, only noted by, you know, Bob McChesney, a couple other folks. Now it's out in a new edition with Cornell West writing the introduction. And, I mean, I think that book is sustaining New Press.
It is.
It's both of us.
It's an extraordinary book. But my point simply is the point you made, which is we try to, you know, we're on these books, I think, before we get the cue from Hollywood. This is where we should be looking. And also that this is a show that basically is going to be getting these books before you. The important stuff, we're not waiting to see whether it gets Charlie Rose's seal of approval. We think something's important. We know what it is. We know who the authors are. They're going to get before you. And we need your support to keep that up. We need you to go to 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. John, we've got one more person to thank.
Love it.
Jane of Charleston, Illinois, up to four. Four of our 11 callers
from
Charleston.
They're like getting toward halfway point.
Charleston is like ruling the world. It's like the Dominican Republic supplying baseball players now.
If this was the race for the Republican nomination, Charleston would be nominated.
It would have it locked up, and then some. Even before the Koch brothers got their checkbook out, Charleston would win.
Man.
Come on, let's go Urbana, let's go Champaign, let's get in the game at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We need your support here at Media Matters. WILL needs your support. And if you just want a reason to give money to us, all we say is take the taste test, turn that dial down, see what the other stations have to offer, see what the nature of political discourse is on the other stations that are out there on the dial, and take the taste test between being carpet bombed in commercials and sound bites and inane propaganda talking points that everyone says the same thing on the same inane issue. That's one choice you can have, or you can come here and you can hear the guests we're talking about. Diane Ravitch. John, I don't think you heard that show. It was on 3 weeks ago. Diane Ravitch is an education historian.
Oh, I know who she is, yeah.
And we had her on talking about her book, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, and that is an exceptionally powerful book. And one of the shows I'm really proud that we did, because, you know, she was a...
on the wrong side.
Yeah, she was a supporter of these various school choice and voucher and smash the union type programs. And then she finally said she looked at all the research that had been done and seen what had happened in all these schools, and it just none of it had worked, and in fact it made matters worse.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just one of those honest books, but it's also very sober and evidence-driven. It's not a polemic by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think she has a polemical bone in her body, but it was heartfelt.
That's a big deal about this show, and it's one of the reasons people ought to call in at 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455. Because what Diane Ravitch did, and I followed her very closely. In fact, just Friday I was a keynote speaker at an American Federation of Teachers event in Washington. And Diane Ravitch is somebody who a few years ago was at war with the American Federation of Teachers. Now she appears at their events. That's a complicated journey to make, to go from, you know, being a harsh critic of one grouping to actually embracing the teachers, to say, wow, it turns out you guys were right. What you're doing is important. You can't explain that in a 20-second soundbite. You can't, you know, what you sound like is, oh, somebody's just flipping around from one opinion to another. That's not what happened with Diane Ravitch. What happened with her is she dug into a core issue. She did research over time, and she came to a different conclusion than she began the debate with. And a show like this can entertain discussions of that depth. It's why this show is so important. It's why people who may not even be listening right at this minute will search out the podcast and will listen to this show again and again, because they're getting into discussions that are so very important. If those of us who want to have real positive change in America anticipate any kind of victory in the long term, It will come by people evolving their opinions, not staying where they started, but moving forward, progressing. And I think the Diane Ravitch Show is a really good example of that. There's been a lot of others on this program, but this is a unique kind of radio that entertains that kind of discussion. It's a radio that has to be supported by its listeners. You're not going to get this on, you know, the shock jock morning talk radio. You're going to get this on WILL, and you're going to do it by supporting WILL with a call to 217-244-9455.
And also willpledge.org. Go online. Those of you listening online, those of you who are not listening to us in real time, this pledge drive is lasting for the next week. There's plenty of time for you to get involved. And anyone online or calls eligible for the premiums, all you have to do if you go online is mention the show and that you want the premium in the message. The premiums are John Nichols' new book, Uprising, on the Wisconsin Uprising and the Occupy Movement, just came out with Nation Books, or Glenn Greenwald's new book, In Liberty and Justice for Some, brilliant book on the state of the rule of law in the United States, or the lack of the rule of law and the attack on civil liberties. And you can get either of those for a $60 pledge, both of them for $100. And if you give $10,000, I will personally hug you.
Well, you'll drive over and mow their lawn.
I'll mow their lawn. I'll floss their teeth, whatever they want. I'll do it for $10,000. But we'll worry about that later.
Not being the kind of, you know, class-based elitist that you are, we'll send you over to hug somebody who gives a dollar to.
Oh, okay. We have three more callers that
Excellent.
We want to thank. And get this, we've got Moline has come through with Melissa.
Is Moline in the listener area? Is it?
Ways
away.
That's a good question.
The other side of Illinois.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think that's our Melissa, who used to be the producer here, based on the spelling of the name and the exclamation points in the message. Thank you, Melissa.
Ringer.
Greatly miss Melissa Trent, our former producer.
Yeah. Okay.
We got another one from Monticello. Monticello is now 2-0 up on Urbana. Robert from Monticello.
And isn't it tied with Champaign?
Tied with Champaign. Nowhere near the far off in the front still, Charleston, Illinois. And then Eric from, get this, John, Lewiston, Montana.
Okay, so Lewiston, Montana is beating Urbana.
Yeah, can you believe that? And Eric has a nice message. Media matters, he says, matters to everyone in this country who values democracy. Thank you so much, Eric.
That's really great.
We appreciate the words. You know, John, I want to tell you a funny story. I've never told you this. And this is a true story. I've never told you this, John. You and I wrote our first book in 1999 called It's the Media Stupid.
Yep.
It sold 4 copies.
And, you know, inside our family.
Yeah, exactly. Not really a barn burner. And I remember when I dealt with a publisher, a friend of ours, Greg Ruggiero at Seven Stories Press, about that book. And I said, you were going to be the lead author, and I would be, it'd be Nichols and McChesney. And he said, well, you know, no one's heard of this guy, Nichols. They know about you. Why don't they get McChesney and Nichols? I said, no, it's going to be Nichols and McChesney. And I said, and this is the part I never told you. I said, this guy's, you know, he's working with The Nation now. Believe me, he's so talented. Everyone's going to know about this guy by the time his book's out. This guy's great. Trust me, you want his name first. And Greg said, yeah, I don't think so. So that's 13 years ago. Now, fast forward today. Now, if I were to do a book with Greg Ruggiero, they'd probably put my name in 3-point type because...
No.
John, I mean, this is not about me, it's but you. But, I mean, you've become, in the last year and a half, you know, sort of the national representative on the Ed Show for what's going on politically, not just in Wisconsin, but really all over in terms of popular movements. You are the expert on it. And you've become, in Wisconsin especially... you're like you are to Wisconsin, sort of what Elvis was to Memphis. Now you
walk. I think that we have.
I'm embarrassing you, aren't I?
A little bit, yeah.
Good. That's what I wanted. I just like to tweak you a little bit, Brother John.
We've had. I'll tell you what's happened over the last year. What you and I started writing about, you know, better part of 15 years ago, and what we have been hoping for, and obviously our hopes exceeded our timeline. A little bit. We were hoping more than perhaps was reasonable, but it ultimately was that people were going to start to peel away or pull away the curtain of lies that tells us our economics must always be arranged so that wealthy people make more money and that poor folks give up whatever they've got, and middle class folks kind of carry the bag, and just creating a very, very unfair economic system. And we've hoped for a long time that people are just going to get so upset they would rise up and begin to go to the streets to protest and to start to vote in radical ways and make real changes. That's begun to happen over the last year. Since the 2010 election swept in a wave of Republican governors, legislators, members of Congress around the country, they've way overreached. And their overreach has actually created a circumstance where people are excited now about stepping up and opposing this. And that's given both you and I think, an opportunity as people who've been talking for a long time about these issues, not to say I told you so, because that doesn't mean anything in politics, but to explain, you know, where this is coming from. This is not an immediate response. This is a response that's been bubbling up for a long time. And now, as, you know, Paul Mason, the great British writer, says, things are kicking up all over. We have, you know, there's not a day that goes by in the United States or around the world where there aren't mass demonstrations opposing austerity, opposing balancing budgets by cutting services and forcing working people to pay more so rich people get a better life.
John, I've got a trivia question for you.
Got it.
Not trivia. This is too important to be called trivia, but I've got a question for you. What country has the most uprisings and demonstrations in the last year in the world, and probably or arguably has more than the rest of the world combined?
Ooh, very good. Russia?
China.
You know what? It's very funny. I'm not trying to play smart here one way or the other. It's kind of like weighing in the back of my mind, Russia or China.
Yeah.
Because they both had an incredible churn.
Yeah.
And China's a very interesting dynamic.
But before we talk about China, we're going to talk a little commerce here.
Oh, I love it.
Because, you know, you did that smackdown of Urbana, and I think that really hurt a lot of people's feelings.
I think you didn't defend Urbana.
I was shocked. Urbana has been sort of the core of our support. It's been the base, so to speak. Remember, George W. Bush's base was with the rich and the super rich?
Yeah, because I refer to you as my base.
Yeah, exactly. My base, Media Matters base, has always been Urbana and then Champaign. Now suddenly Charleston's taken over. But Urbana called in. We got Spencer from Urbana.
Yeah.
And Lori of Urbana both called in.
Nice.
And thank you so much. And again, I've been told by the powers that be, go to willpledge.org for those of you to make your pledge of support to Media Matters and to WILL AM 580. In addition, if you want, always call. That's always open too at 217-244-9455. Plus, we've got another caller here to thank, also from Urbana, Alex.
Oh, wow.
Alex is a first-time new member, new supporter of the show. Thank you so much, Alex. We're up to three from Urbana.
I just saw somebody from Charleston starting to sweat.
I think, well, if there's anyone left in Charleston, I mean, we've cleaned out the town there pretty much. I don't think it's that big of a place.
I know. Well, I'm sorry, man. Rise to the occasion. Get in the game.
We've got one more update that just came in. This is real-time updates here.
It's not a call.
It's just saying they're waiting for more calls.
Well, then we better.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right, jokers.
Thank you for getting my hopes up here. Okay, the numbers so we can give the people in there waiting to answer the phone. We've got a team that are playing Canasta or something right now, hoping for those phones to ring at 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. And I do want to, you know, again say, you know, the situation here, we don't want to dwell on it, but it's serious. We do need your support. If you listen to the show and you listen to WILL, take a second to think what your world would be like if, in fact, you didn't have this show or this station. What would you be willing to pay then to have this show and this station reappear on the dial in Champaign-Urbana, in East Central Illinois, or to appear on the Internet? As it is available to everyone worldwide. And whatever that amount is you'd be willing to pay that you could pay, that's what you should call in right now and pay. That's what you should pledge, because that's the situation we're in. We're in a situation where we have to pay bills here. We've got heating bills, electricity bills. We've got to pay our staff. And the support from the state is not there, and we don't take advertising. That leaves it basically to you, the listeners, to be the basis of this station's support. We need you to call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org and make your pledge there, or make the telephone call, make the pledge. And for $60, you can get a copy of John Nichols' brand new book, Uprising, or of Glenn Greenwald's new book, and Liberty and Justice for Some. $100 gets you both of them. Those books are worth it. John, I know you can't brag about your own book, but I can. And Glenn's book is great, too. Either of those books is worth $60 just to read, just because they're so fantastic. And then that all the money for those books will go to support this station, to help us stay on the air, stay strong, grow, be accessible worldwide on the Internet. All those things together, I think, should make you want to call right now if you haven't and pledge your support to this show and to this station. So, John, when I was giving you a hard time before talking about how famous you've become and how great it is that you're on TV, and I know that it's given you visibility, there's also a positive part of that outside of, you know, it's nice to get a good seat at a restaurant, which is that you have a chance now to have a larger platform to stand on when you want to talk about politics.
It's a really interesting thing because, and this is something you and I deal with a lot when we deal with media issues. You can spend 20 years writing what you think is pretty smart stuff about politics, but you go on TV on some four-minute segments on a regular basis, and people think you're really smart. I don't know if there's anything more unfair than that calculus, the notion that you know, a few minutes on TV suddenly makes you an expert on something. But there is a dynamic there. And one of the things that's happened is that, and I think you and I have been very, very concerned by the collapse of a lot of newsrooms across this country, the diminishing of the traditional mainstream media big newsroom. And it's a pressing concern. It's a really, really big issue. But the flip side of that is that we now have so many more venues, which are smaller. They're not the kind of old-fashioned ABC, CBS, NBC. But there are other vehicles. There are cable channels. There are community and public radio programs, things like Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!, that have become real institutions. And so we are creating, at this point in history, a whole bunch of new faces. We're bringing people in to a much broader discourse that would never have gotten on ABC News, but that can get on MSNBC, that can get on Amy Goodman's show. And so the amazing thing of what's happening now is we're able to popularize issues that we used to have to bang our heads against the wall on. And I'm looking at something like the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. You know, ALEC is a behind-the-scenes grouping. It doesn't want publicity, yet it brings corporations together with legislators to write the laws in all 50 states. And over the last year, we have, with The Nation, the Center for Media and Democracy, with a lot of support from MSNBC and Amy Goodman, now gotten to a point where this morning, after a year of covering ALEC and all this kind of behind-the-scenes scheming by the right to control our legislative processes, the New York Times had a front page above the fold story on ALEC.
Is this their first time they've really covered the story?
First time they've really gone deep in, although Paul Krugman on the editorial page has written good columns on it. But the front page, center of the front page, writing about this secretive right-wing group controlling our legislative process in the states. And that is something that I think I'm just trying to say that it is how our media dynamic is shifting. And we are now able to create a drumbeat, if you will, through what we traditionally thought of in many cases as alternative media that is strong enough to force the kind of godhead of mainstream media to pay attention. And that's a pretty darn good thing.
And, you know, one thing I'll add to that in this horn-tooting department is that we had Lisa Graves from the Center of Media and Democracy on Media Matters last summer. Early fall, as they were breaking the story, to do a full hour on ALEC. And so we were out there again covering that story.
Right on. And Lisa Graves is quoted in the New York Times story this morning.
And so that's all the more reason to make that phone call right now to support us, to show your support for WILL, to show your support for Media Matters, and for the sort of programming we're doing here. And we need your support at 244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. Pick up one of the premiums, John Nichols' new book, Uprising, a classic already in my view, or Glenn Greenwald's new book, And Liberty and Justice for Some. We had Glenn on the air in November talking about it when it came right off the presses. They're both great books, $60 for either of them, $100 gets you both, but give whatever you can. We have a target of 100 people, which we were given by the powers that be at WILL, 100 people. Yeah, well, whatever, and we have got 21 pledges so far. We have 79 to go. So we've got a lot of ground to cover in the next hour. We need you to call. Please support us. Please show that this sort of programming is important to you. John, we do have some more people to thank. I don't have names now, just locations. I guess
we've reduced people to locations.
Yeah, people are basically, they don't want to be associated with the show if we're not getting any more pledgers,
you
I guess.
You are your place, man.
So we want to thank Troy, New York. So New York's up to three. We got two more from Champaign. So what's that put Champaign at, four? Or five, I think.
I think you're right. I think so.
I think so. And then we got yet another from Charleston. So Charleston's up to five.
They're up to five. They're like ruling the roost.
Charleston is amazing. Thank you, Charleston, Illinois. Come on, Urbana. You've got three. Champaign, I think you've got three now. You guys are neck and neck, and you're still behind Charleston at five. Call 244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. Make your support for Media Matters now. We need your support. If you're listening to this show and you can pledge anything, we want to get 100 pledgers. Give what you can. If you can only give $10 or $20, that's the best you can do. Make it $10 or $20. If you've never pledged before, like Alex, who just called in, and first-time pledger, believe me, there's no better time than the first time. You'll never forget it. You'll remember it the rest of your life. I still remember the first time I pledged. How about you, John?
I do, and, you know, it's funny. I thought at the time that I was doing it, you know, kind of as a